They're all in behind the gate. The gate swings into the stretch, and here they come. They're horsing around.
Hey, folks, it's Kelly Bell. I'm here horsing around today with one of my favorite people, Mr. Jim Lloyd, my co-host of Little Brown Jug Radio Network for many moons. Jim, how are you?
Oh, gosh, what an intro. I'm doing okay.
It's sure good to hear your voice.
Treated me real good for a while, and then it's kicked me in the butt. Now I'm recovering and retiring again.
Well, what was you saying about you work 1 week out of the year and you're on vacation the other 360?
Yeah, well, yeah, the other 51, but I just couldn't get everything done that I needed to in 51 weeks. So I just had to go ahead and retire.
Yeah, well, you know, I understand. I'm in the same boat. You know, you got those trips to Florida and you got to be down there on the lake in the Hocking Hills and, you know, socializing with your friends. And, you know, it's just busy, 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 nonstop.
I just couldn't work. I just couldn't find that week to work. So I decided, actually, it was time.
Oh, that's so great.
I've watched you or listened to you for the last 2 years that I haven't been there. And the COVID year wasn't too bad because you couldn't get any interviews or anything. But boy, I would listen to you this year. By the way, you and Chris really sound good. Is it Chris?
Keith Gisser. We call him Keith. The Giss. Yeah.
Chris.
He is a walking encyclopedia of harness racing statistics. I don't know how he keeps all those numbers in his head.
He sure is. But I'll tell you, I thought to myself, right after the Little Brown Jug, you signed off. I thought, how in the hell did I go 8 hours on the air every day for 5 days or 4 days and four or five? I see how you forget 4 days and not just completely croaked on that. I was an old man when we started, and I'm older now.
I'll tell you, it is hard. It's hard on the mind and on the body, but it's so much fun. I think that's the secret.
I enjoyed it and exciting and loved working with you, but it was time. I did these back in the mid-70s for about 5 years, so I've actually got 10 years of broadcasting the Little Brown Jug under my belt.
Right. They did do a broadcast for a number of years and then stopped it for a while and then brought it back. Wow.
I'd forgotten everything that I learned because, you know, I got into cars and racing cars and stuff like that.
Well, that was always fun when we would do our commentary because you understood racing in general because of the car racing commentary. And, you know, I was still pretty new at the harness racing scene and was more focused on understanding the backstories of the families and the racing teams. But I think between the two of us, I think we both became harness racing fans, right?
We did. Like I said, I listened to you guys and I really enjoyed it. And Roger calling the races and the excitement and you jumping up and down and screaming. I knew you were, even though I couldn't see you. Turn my mic off, producer. I'm about to scream.
Oh, that's so funny. Yeah, I used to get in trouble because I'd get too hot when I'd get excited at the finish. Oh, that's great. Yeah, this year was so cold. It was so cold and rainy out there this year. I've never seen anything like it. That kind of broke my heart because last year, due to COVID, no spectators were allowed to be there. And it was the 75th anniversary. And so everyone was so excited this year that they were allowed to have crowds. And then the day comes and, you know, Wednesday and Thursday both were just wet and cold and windy. Oh my goodness, Jim, I tell you, you didn't miss much there, bud.
Well, I'm down here in the thick of the woods, so I didn't get any wind or the trees pretty well broke it up. And I'm underneath the roof and I sat out on my deck and watched it. And unless I keep saying watching it and listen to it, that's because we're doing this on a Zoom.
That's right.
I think we're recording.
Yeah, this whole Zoom technology has been great through the COVID thing. But yeah, you know, and the Ohio Harness Horsemen's Association is starting to provide video on YouTube where people can go back and watch the races, which I think is really exciting. You know, before I started doing with this with you, I've always loved horses, but I did not understand the sport of harness racing at all. And, you know, it never would have occurred to me to go back and look at certain races and get excited about watching them and seeing who won. But the more I learn about the sport and the strategies and the drivers and the families that are raising these horses and breeding them and training them to become athletes, it really is exciting.
Well, you know, I could relate to that car racing because, you know, for 2 minutes on the track, they spend hours and hours not on the track getting ready to go. Same thing with racing cars. You know, for every hour I spent in the car, I spent four underneath it. So, I think that my racing background helped it a lot because I heard it even
yes, sir.
2 weeks ago, I heard him talking about drafting and getting in and breaking the wind and this type of thing. And I said, well, yeah, it's, and as I said, when we were broadcasting it, that a car race, it goes on for 2.5, 3, 4 hours. And it can get pretty boring sitting there watching them go round and round or running on a road course. But if you get a boring horse race, don't worry about it because there's going to be another one in about 10 minutes.
Exactly. Yeah, they go so fast and all day long. And you get to see some of the same drivers over and over and over again throughout the day. A lot of these drivers will be in, you know, 10 races out of a 20 race card in a day. And so then you can really start following your favorites.
And boy, anybody that says they're not athletes is dead wrong. That is got to be hard work.
Oh, absolutely. Did you know I actually got a chance to ride in a Saki this year? Chris Page took me on the track. It was a lot of fun. Really, really well.
Wasn't it pretty hard work at the same time?
Well, no. He did most of the driving. I just got to sit there and enjoy the ride.
Oh, you rode. You didn't drive one. You need to drive one and see what it's like.
Yeah, I think that would be a whole different thing. He's offered me that opportunity as well. So one of these days soon, I guess I'll be giving that a shot.
Oh, yeah, Kelly, you got to do that. You know?
Of course I do. Of course. You know, and then, of course, there's the Mike Webkenberg starting gates. That starting gate thing is amazing. And he was giving away rides to, we had people, you know, that would call into the morning show and win a ride in the starting gate. And you get in there and you're on the track with this truck as the horses come up and line up on these wings that fold out. And I mean, you've got like, you know, 8,000 pounds of horse just right in your face coming at you. And you get to experience the power of these animals from that perspective. It's absolutely amazing.
I wouldn't know about that because you got to ride in the sulky and I didn't get a chance to ride. So I've never done that.
Well,
I was going to come out and join you the last 2 years. And last year, of course, I couldn't come out. And this year I happened to be sick and not feeling so good, so I couldn't come. I didn't come, and I'm going to show up there. And if I don't have a sulky ride, you and me are liable to go to Fifth City.
All right. You know what? I think I've developed enough relationship with these folks that I can make that happen. And for you, Jim, I would do anything. So you know, we've only got about 1 minute left, and the one thing I'd really like to talk about. You are such a professional when it comes to being a journalist. You did a piece about the history of the Little Brown Jug that you produced for the last year that you did the broadcast with us. And I have been incensed about finding that piece and archiving it because I think it's one that we should play every single year. You just are so good. If you're okay with it, I'd like to pull that out of the archives and play that for our listeners today on this show. What do you think?
I'm all for it. If you want to do that, thanks for the compliment. An old retired guy likes it when somebody says you did a great job on something. Well, we don't do anything anymore.
You absolutely did. So with that, we are out of time. Jim Lloyd, my friend, my mentor, my co-host, let's listen to a great piece of radio journalism that you did for the Little Brown Jug.
The founding of the Jug, which actually set its roots more than 65 years ago, is as unique as it is interesting. It began in 1937 when Delaware County Agricultural Society's members at their annual meeting voted to move the county fair, held since its inception at Powell, to Delaware on a tract of land at the northern edge of the city. 2 years later, a half-mile track was built and provided the stage for harness racing. R.K. McNamara, the local contractor, designed and built the lightning-fast track. Enter attorney Joe Neville, whose family had been identified with Standard Bred Sport for many years, and his friend Henry C. Hank Thompson, sports editor of the Delaware Gazette. Neville, who had campaigned horses on the Grand Circuit and was familiar with its officers and stewards, was successful in obtaining Grand Circuit dates for the new Delaware track. The Little Brown Jug Society was formed to stage the Grand Circuit meeting. Neville headed the organization, and Thompson was secretary treasurer. Then came the birth of the Little Brown Jug, named through a newspaper contest with its previews in 1944 and 1945. The initial jug in 1946, with a purse of $35,358, was won by Ensign Hanover, with Delaware's Wayne Curly Smart driving. Smart, a most successful trainer driver on the Grand Circuit, was later to become an integral part of the Jug's operation as the track superintendent. Over the years, the track monopolized the half-mile record section with world-standard performances, mainly through Smart's skill in maintaining the fastest racing strip of its size in the country. Through its humble beginnings, the Jug grew slowly to become perhaps the most traditional stake on the pacing gate. In 1956, the Jug provided the anchor for the newly designed Triple Crown of Pacing to go along with the Cane Pace at Yonkers, New York Raceway, and the Messenger Stakes then at Roosevelt Raceway in Westbury, New York. A review of Jug winners over the year produces the names of many all-time greats in the sport. The Great Tar Heel, driven by Del Cameron, produced the first two-minute mile in 1951. Adios Butler, reined by Clint Hodgkins, broke the two-minute barrier with a 1:59 2/5 clocking in 1959 and went on to become the first Triple Crown winner. Brett Hanover, with Frank Irvin in the sulky, added to Juck Lore in 1965 after Smart directed track maintenance crews scraped the racing surface following 24-hour rains. Brett Hanover won the sensational time of 1:57 flat. Brett's time remained the fastest until 1977, when Governor Skipper, driven by John Chapman, won with 1:56 1/5. Hot Hitter was the 1979 victor with 1:55 3/5. Niatros in 1980 in 1:54 4/5. And Lone Star Legend became the first 1:50 flat performer in 2008 with his 1:49 3/5 flat. The pacing stake has maintained its impeccable reputation through the efforts of the Little Brown Jug Society with the cooperation of its host, the Delaware County Agricultural Society. The Little Brown Jug is a part of Americana, and it shall ever remain so.
All right. Thanks for that great story about the Little Brown Jug, Jim. And when we come back, we're going to hear from the voice of the Little Brown Jug, Roger Houston himself. And you know, we have been a little hyper-focused on the Little Brown Jug the last couple weeks, rightly so. But Roger's going to fill us in on other horse events that happened throughout the month of September. We'll be right back with more on Horsin' Around.
With more than 300,000 horses in Ohio, the economic impact of the equine industry in the state is over $1.4 billion. Much of that value comes from standardbred horse owners, breeders, trainers, and drivers who participate in the sport of harness racing. The mission of the Ohio Harness Horsemen's Association is to preserve, protect, promote, and serve the entire standardbred industry in Ohio and beyond. To learn more about the Ohio Harness Horsemen's Association, go to OHHA.com. That's OHHA.com.
It's mud season. Are you looking for a fix in a muddy situation? Cashman's has you covered, offering innovative mud control solutions. We are also your number one source for the best deals on rubber mats for multi-use flooring, perfect for horse stalls, garages, and gyms. Cashman's Horse Equipment has been serving the equine community for over 40 years. Come and visit our location in Delaware, Ohio, and shop over 10 acres of equine farm and livestock supplies. Shop online anytime at cashmans.com.
Be sure to catch the new podcast, The Top of the Stretch, presented by the Ohio Harness Horsemen's Association. The podcast keeps fans of racing in the Buckeye State up to date on various topics concerning the sport of harness racing. The news and views of top officials, owners, trainers, drivers, and breeders in Ohio. That's the all-new podcast, Top of the Stretch, on the Facebook page of the Ohio Harness Horsemen's Association. Be there!
Welcome back to Horse Around. I'm your host, Shelly Ketchel, and you just heard from Jim Lloyd and Kelly Bell, and, you know, they talked about the Little Brown Jug and covering it through all the years and what it was like, and then you heard this great historical piece about the Little Brown Jug by Jim Lloyd himself. Now we're going to hear from the voice of the Little Brown Jug, Roger Houston, giving us a wrap-up of other events that happened during September, because last week, Roger talked all about his experience at the Little Brown Jug this year, and we wanted to give some time to some other events going on. So, Roger, take it away.
Well, the month of September had other things besides Delaware, Ohio, and the Little Brown Jug week. Some of the highlights that we were unable to talk of last week, we thought we had mentioned them today. The latest poll has come out by the Hamiltonian Society and the Breeders' Crown. It's a weekly poll that goes on for like 35 weeks. And in this poll, Charlie May, the three-year-old, Steve Carter trained, Don Tiger owned, Brett Miller the driver, got one first place vote out of the 35 who vote each week. Total number of points Charlie May received was 92 points, and that was good for the seventh spot on that list, led by Lion Sentinel, who just won the $175,000 Dayton Derby at Hollywood Dayton last week, is the number one choice in that poll, got 24 of 35 first place votes. Venerable, who won the Mohawk Million race, it was a two-year-old, it was perfect eight for eight, got four first-place votes for second. Test of Faith is third. Captain Corey, who won the Hamiltonian, is fourth. Hollywag Hanover, fifth. Manchego, sixth. And then Charlie May in that seventh spot, followed by Nikki Hill, King of the North, and Hot Mess Express. Other horses, though, with a, from familiarity here in the Buckeye State, got points as well. Sea Silk, the two-year-old pacing champion here in the Buckeye State, who is undefeated in her lifetime starts for trainer Ron Burke, is 11th in that poll. 14th in the poll is When Doves Cry, who won the big race at Delaware, the Miss Versatility. Luz Perlman, who won the Little Brown Jug, is 15th. And Winning Ticket, who is undefeated here in the Buckeye State, is 17th in the top 20 list. Back of the Neck, who won a Dayton Derby, is 18th to round out those in the top 20. Ocean Rock, who won the other Dayton Derby race, is 23rd in this week's poll. Others receiving a mention from the Buckeye State, Gulf Shores, Herculesa, and Scarlett Hanover, of course, the winner of the Jugette. We finished the month of September. Aaron Merriman was the top driver with 594 wins. Ronnie Wren Jr. is fourth with 400. In the sixth spot nationally is Chris Page at 362. And Brett Miller is eighth with a total of 343 wins this season. On the county fair circuit, Ron Gillespie with one fair remaining, Lancaster coming up the 13th and 14th, leads all drivers in the fairs this year with 75 wins. Jeff Neisonger has 68, and Cameron McCowan is third with 66. On the trainer's side, Chris Beaver dominated the trainers with 41 wins. Rosie Weaver, 30 wins, and Eric Nesselrode had 27 wins at the county fairs. Some big days this past September for our driving colonies. Ronnie Wren had 5 win nights at Northfield on 2 occasions. Chris Page won 5 one night, 7 another night at Scioto Downs. Billy Davis Jr., a newcomer to Ohio racing, had 5 on one occasion and 6 on another occasion at Northfield. Tyler Smith had a 6-win night at Hollywood Dayton. And Aaron Merriman had 2 fives and 1 7-night score at Northfield during the month of September. As far as the national season's records are concerned, all but one national season's record on a half-mile track is held at Northfield. The likes of Sea Silk, Trey Cruz, Slingshot, Smoothest Tennessee Whiskey, Charlie May, Heart of Chewbacca, Sports Flick, Diamond Tequila Shot. This is the plan in Stanford Court on the pacing side. On the trot side, The Mighty Hill, Slim Jimmy, Herculesa, Winning Ticket, Westland Quest, Winning Shadow, and Mac Dino. As far as on the 5/8 mile track at Miami Valley, Hollywood Dayton, or Scioto, Gulf Shores, a 2-year-old colt, has the fastest in the nation on a 5/8 mile track. And Catch the Fire, an aged horse, the fastest in that category. On the trot side, the only national season's record is held by Gabby's Bitcoin at the Scioto Downs of 154 4/5. So it's been a very good month of September. And as we said, going into the final fair, yes, we started the season with 65 fairs to be contested, 125 county fair broadcast on the OHHA Facebook page. We wrapped things up at Fairfield County in Lancaster on the 13th and 14th of this month. And that's our report for the month of September. Roger Houston saying, if there's a fair near you, be there.
All right. And like Roger said, there's one fair left for you all to participate in seahorse racing, and that is the Fairfield County Fair, October 13th and October 14th. On October 13th, the post time is 1 p.m., and October 14th, the post time is 1:30 p.m. And if you can't get to the fairgrounds to watch the races live, you can go to the HarnessRacingOhio.com website, which is the Ohio Harness Horsemen's Association website, where they have their videos and their live feeds from the fairs. So you can watch the fair racing at the Fairfield County Fair live, both on October 13th and October 14th. All right. Well, that concludes this episode of Horsing Around. We'll see you next week.